Numbers chapter 35, I'll begin reading with verse number 9. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the people of Israel and say to them, when you cross the Jordan into the land of Canaan, then you shall select cities to be cities of refuge for you, that the manslayer who kills any person without intent may flee there. The cities shall be for you a refuge from the avenger, that the manslayer may not die until he stands before the congregation for judgment. And the cities that you give shall be your six cities of refuge. You shall give three cities beyond the Jordan and three cities in the land of Canaan to be cities of refuge. These six cities shall be for refuge for the people of Israel and for the stranger and for the sojourner among them, that anyone who kills any person without intent may flee there." This is the word of the Lord. Verses 10 through the first clause of verse 11 through verse 12 reads as follows. When you cross the Jordan into the land of Canaan, you shall select for yourselves cities for your cities of refuge. The cities will be to you a refuge from a redeemer, so that the killer may not die until he stands before the community for judgment. The appointment for these six cities, as I have mentioned previously, and I say now for a third time, the principle of repetition which our Lord used, the six cities was the result of God's idea and not man's. These cities were designed by God with mercy in mind. The fellow human being of a person who was accused, or in some cases who confessed of killing a person, in this case unintentionally, the families and community of the one murdered, they wanted retribution. In their mind, their justice was to be carried out. Mercy was not on the mind of the avengers, but mercy was on God's mind when God designed an escape, a way of escape for those who had committed such a great atrocity, a sin. One of the Ten Commandments had murdered someone, even though it was not the result of ill intent in their heart. Yet and still, an offense had been committed. Mercy was on God's mind. As I spoke about in the last series concerning the offerings, I mentioned that God had prescribed a way of showing his mercy upon us. We were on God's mind before God was on our mind. Before any of us ever came to Christ, it was the work of God the Father who was drawing us unto himself, to the point until when we acknowledged and the reality of the work of Jesus, God's Son, on that cross, which provided full payment for every transgression that had ever been committed, or any transgression that ever would be committed. Jesus paid that ransom price for you and me. And only when we came into the realization of what Jesus has done for us could we come to him. Like the prodigal, we came to ourselves. It was a conviction of our sin. The Bible says that a person cannot come to God unless they are drawn by the Father. It was the work of God in us, in our hearts and minds, and finally struck our conscience when we finally became aware, keenly aware, of our offense against God, rebellion, disobedience, a life of sin, and yielded to the call of Christ. God had mercy in mind to save you and me long before we ever had God in mind. Verse 13 says, the cities that you are to give will be your six cities of refuge. And I notice in those two verses, he mentions that over and over again, I think three times. These will be your cities of refuge. It seems as if Moses, who is the author of the book of Numbers, it seems as if by the power of God that he was inspired to remind the people of Israel that yes, there is a way out. There is forgiveness, even for the person who has committed the most heinous crime. There is forgiveness in God. And we should remember today that no matter what you have done, no matter what your neighbor has done, that person to whom you have been allowed relationship with, in your communication with those who are finding it difficult to believe that they can be forgiven for what they've done, you should be reminded, as we should also remind them, that God is saying that no matter what you have done, there is hope. There is forgiveness. There is a way out of the bondage of sin and the guilt of sin, where God will remove the weight of that sin and lay it upon the shoulders of the one who died for our sin, the Lord Jesus Christ. God, or Yahweh, as he was known by the Israelites then, he chose the number of cities, six cities. Why would he choose six cities? It's interesting. We don't know exactly why, because the Bible doesn't tell us. But we can surmise and think it is indeed fascinating that the number six corresponds with the sixth day of creation, which is the day that human beings were created. Six cities. These cities were not built for donkeys. It wasn't a refuge for donkeys. It wasn't a refuge for camels. It wasn't a refuge for any other kind of animal. It was a refuge for human beings, humanity, men and women, boys and girls, who were created by Almighty God on the sixth day. These cities were designed by God and no one else. The cities were practically located sanctuaries. If you're taking notes, you should write down the word practical. The cities were practically located sanctuaries. They weren't hard to find, in other words. What good does it do? You ever have an emergency where maybe someone is cut or has a laceration and you, in your panic, you can't find the first aid kit, and you're frantically trying to find bandages or gauze, or can you imagine that the person who's committed such a heinous crime as murder, and all they can think of is this person's family who wants revenge, this mob in this community who desires retribution? All they can think of is, how fast can I get to this city? What if they had to find a map? Or if they had to go from person to person to ask or inquire, where is this city? There would not be enough time, and certainly a certain percentage of them would be caught and murdered before They even found the location of one of these cities. But God, in God's vast wisdom, made each of these six cities practical, convenient, so that anyone who was guilty of this sort of crime, this kind of sin, could run to one of the cities of refuge and be safe. I was blessed. Sunday after Sunday, month after month, year after year, to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. I didn't have to travel anyplace. I didn't have to search for the gospel. I wasn't living in some remote area where there were no churches. Oh, no. Every Sunday morning, we piled into the station wagon and we were off to church, where we heard the gospel each and every Sunday. It's no mystery that God has his churches everywhere. It's no mystery that God has his churches for those who can't physically go to a sanctuary where they can turn on a radio or a television or listen to a podcast and hear the gospel. Have you ever thought how convenient God has made the gospel? The good news to those who are hurting and in need of hope? These cities were practical in their location. God knew where they were needed. Now you stop and think about it. I've known most of you who were members when I first came here nearly 7 years ago now, I believe. But I didn't know you 8 years ago. Didn't know any of you. As far as I know, never saw, had seen any of you. You'd never seen me or heard of me. But God knew. God knew what I would need when God saved me. God knew what you needed and placed people in your life and a church in your life where you could hear the gospel. You would have ample opportunity to hear the word of God. God knew what each of us needed. Why was I born to Charles and Elaine Scott? I can't tell you that, other than the fact that it's the culmination or the result of God's wisdom, not mine. I had certainly nothing to do with that. No more than you had anything to do with who your parents were. Now, I like the fact also that there was more than one city. I like the idea very much that there was more than one city. Because let's face it, if we had to drive to Texarkana to church every Sunday, most Sundays we probably wouldn't get there. If we had to drive to Tyler or Houston every Sunday, most of us probably wouldn't get there every Sunday, particularly when the weather was inclement or we didn't have money for gas since it's so expensive. A part of the practicality is also the fact that there was more than one city. No one would be able to have an excuse to say there was no city near me. Three cities on this side of the Jordan and three cities in Canaan. There was a proliferation of cities of refuge so that no matter where you were, no matter what you've done, you're never too far, never too far away from God's help. Six cities in total. with arrangements. God had made arrangements even for more cities, if needed, because of the growth of the population. It says something about the vast need of a place like this. Now, some communities are more Christianized than others. Literally, some parts of town, it seems like there's churches on every corner. It's not quite as prolific as it once was. 50s and 60s and even the 70s. But in the last 30, 40 years, there have been vast changes to where we're seeing a less Christianized America, unfortunately. A vast number of places like this, the cities of refuge, a place where people can turn in their time of need. However, the hurting person should always remember it was not the city that saved them. It was not the city that protected them. Ultimately, it was God who conceived the execution of such a plan of their salvation and instructed Israel to carry out God's instructions for such places like this. These cities of refuge, they're the only places like this. There was nothing else built like that before, and nothing else since. I was in Starbucks yesterday afternoon and reviewing notes for my sermon today, and I wouldn't call him a friend, but an acquaintance who's frequently in Starbucks when I'm in there, and he came up to me and he said, Reverend, good morning. And I said, good morning. And he said, are you working on your sermon? I said, well, yes. By that time, I was finished. I said, well, I'm finished, I believe. He said, well, what are you going to be talking about? And I told him I was preaching on the six cities of refuge. And he says, where were they? And I told him where they were. And he says, are they still there? I said, no, they're not. If it had been convenient, I would have told him that they're not needed. Our refuge is in Christ Jesus, not in these cities. There was no place like that in ancient Israel. The only place like it. And I can't help but to hearken back to earlier years in my early Christian life and even before. I always marveled at the happiness of the people in the churches we were a part of. The wonderful fellowship that they had with each other. It indeed was a family. Much like we are here, there was no place like it. I didn't find that at school. There was no place like it. Didn't find it in being involved in any clubs or auxiliaries. Nothing wrong with that, but there was nothing like the church. No place like these cities of refuge. Can we, as an extension of these cities, can we make certain, because of our commitment to Christ, our love for God, our fellowship with one another as we fellowship with God, can we make certain that there is no place like this place? No place like the church. I don't mean just St. John. The church. Where will you go to find support and love? I'm amazed at how, when we have sick among us, how that predominantly our women, maybe exclusively our women, I don't know, how that they get together and make sure that the sick have meals to eat. How that we visit and pray for those who are ill, whether in their homes or hospitals or convalescent centers, where there is love, true love, for those who are part of the community of faith. These cities were the only place where a guilty, fearful person who was on the run and looking for a second chance, it was the only place they could go. What the scripture is really telling us is that Jesus Christ is our refuge. That's what these cities are pointing us to. He is the only person. Jesus is the only place where the hurting, where the fearful and the guilty can turn and find true forgiveness. Those doors were always open. No one had to stand out and knock to get in. The doors of the cities of refuge were always left open. Oh, my friends, that's a message that our world, our hopeless world, needs to hear. Jesus is bidding you to come. Let's not be a church where we're trying to find ways to keep people out. Let's rejoice that the hurting and the spiritually hunger are coming to Christ. It is their only consolation in this world. If it is not Jesus, where would we turn? If it is not the one who died for us, where would we turn? If not for the one who rose from the dead to give us living hope, where would we turn? If it not for the one who ascended into heaven and represents us there before the throne of God, where would we turn? The message that those who witnessed this crime should have been, rather than saying, let's kill him, what they should have been saying is, run. Run. As soon as the guilty, fearful person, afraid for their very life, realizes what they have done, the sin they have committed, the blood that's on their hands, first words of those who witnessed it should have been, run. Run for your life. Run before the avengers grab you. Grab before your fellow citizens accost you. Grab before any authorities arrest you. Run to that city. Let me ask you today, what are your words to the fearful, the guilty, the hungry, the thirsty, the weary, those laden down with the burdens of their sins? What words are you giving them? Are you pointing them to Jesus, our refuge? Are you pointing them to Christ, who relieves us of sin? Come unto me, all you who are burdened and heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for my yoke is easy and my burdens are light. Are you pointing women and men, girls and boys, in the direction of Jesus Christ? And tell them to run. Run because we still have time. Run because we know the way. Run because the doors of the city are open. Run because judgment has been suspended. Run because there's free entrance There's no admission fee. These cities remind us of the person and work of Jesus Christ, our incomparable refuge. Refuge in the time of storm reminds us of the mission of the Master, Jesus, and he is the one to whom the hurting can run. And as the founder and head of these cities of refuge, and in this place that is in Christ, the hurting, the tired, the guilty, and the fearful will find the Lord's mercy. But let the one running always remember, it is the Lord God who is the originator of this plan of salvation and the chief architect of the institution called the Church of the Living God. And in its service, that is the church service, men, women, girls, and boys, the church is at its best the arms and hands of God. We can't save anybody, can we? We can't save anyone. But we stand as witnesses to a broken, fallen world, and can tell everyone who needs forgiveness and hope, we can point them to Jesus, who is the one who forgives us of all of our sin. Verse 14 says, and I'll move to a conclusion, you will give three cities across the Jordan, three cities in the land of Canaan. They will be cities of refuge. I talked about the practical placement of these cities. There was a proliferation of cities by them being six and not just one. Not hard to find when there's six. And then we should say something about the fact of the placement of the cities. Three cities of refuge on the east of the Jordan River and three cities west of the Jordan River. Land of Canaan. Hebron, Shechem, and Kadesh were located on the west side of the Jordan. Golan, Ramoth, Gilead, and Bezer were all located on the east side of the Jordan. These places of safety are easily accessible to anyone who saw themselves as they truly were. Guilty before God. Anyone who comes to themselves, as I referenced the prodigal, the one who sees themselves as truly deserving judgment and in need of salvation, no matter where that crime took place, no matter where it took place, the perpetrator was never too far from a safe city. As long as you're under the sound of the voice of the gospel of Jesus Christ, you're never too far. From safety. And number four, let me give you another one. The cities were not only privileged sanctuary, but the cities were permanent sanctuaries as well. The gospel will be given until the end of the age. These sanctuaries remind us of the eternal nature of God's salvation. And let me close with this. It is also said that the roads leading to these cities were some of the best maintained roads in the Jordan Valley. I don't need to tell my friends from Cameroon, who one of them told me recently about the roads that they had to travel from the airport to their village or city and mentioned how terribly bumpy those roads were and how it made the trip longer than it really should have been. Not a comfortable ride at all, and certainly not safe to drive at a high speed. But think of the mind of God, that God would put it into the mind and heart of man to make these roads from wherever they were leading to the city of refuge some of the best kept roads in the Jordan Valley. There was no delay. They could get there quickly. They could get there safely and conveniently. God did everything possible to make it so that the one who really wanted to be redeemed, saved, and spared from a premature judgment, it was possible because those roads were passable. A clear passageway to the city of refuge. My friend, to the person whom God is calling, Satan cannot stop you. Satan cannot stop you. He cannot stop those God has called to run to him. And the last thing I'll say was there also, we're told also that there were signs posted. There were signs posted saying this way. If that traveler saw that sign that says Miklat, which means refuge, this way, God in mercy, God of love, and through God's divine providence, God surely knows how to point his children in the right direction. None of us are here because we are so intelligent. None of us are here because of what we knew or who we knew. We're all in the church of the living God, saved, redeemed, forgiven, and given hope. Because God has pointed us in the right direction. God is our tower of strength in the time of our weakness. The mighty power of God seen in God's kindness and mercy and love for the disenfranchised. This notion of cities of refuge drew runners from all over. Isn't that amazing? The next series I'm going to preach by the grace of God will be in the book of Acts. And there we see people in the day of Pentecost from every nation under heaven. God's drawing runners from the east and the west, the south and the north, just as they did cities of refuge. If you're standing by in your field and you see someone running down that road, well, you know that God's mercy is at work. Running because God has provided a place of refuge. God can and will draw all sinners to himself. This way. If you're disillusioned or distraught, the science is this way. If you're troubled or tried and tempted, the sign says this way. It's the way of hope,
the weak and the wounded this way, and you'll find safety.
God has provided hope for the hopeless and help for the helpless. Let's pray.